taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Recent news about what the WHO has planned has led to a lot of questions about America's sovereignty. Can the WHO take control of the American people through our healthcare system? Do WHO treaties and regulations have legal standing here in America? What should the people do in the face of these attempts to control us? Then there's the new reports of monkeypox that's scaring the nation. It's, of course, it's being spread all over the news. Looking at how badly not only the WHO, but our own federal public and state public health agencies have acted over the last few years makes me wonder why anyone should even consider, should care, much less give any credence to what these organizations have to say. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. My name is Paul Engel. You've joined the Constitution Study. And today we're going to take this recent announcement of WHO regulations as a launching point into not only U.S. sovereignty, but your sovereignty and the fact that you aren't subject to these agencies. All you need to know is that they're not, and the ability to stand up to them. So let's start with, again, the news, it's hot topic, and that's the WHO. Now, this all started with some proposed amendments to the international health regulations. So people say, we'll turn over American sovereignty to the WHO. Now, I've heard contradictory opinions about whether or not these regulations actually do anything. In other words, do they bind member states to follow WHO regulations or recommendations, or is it just a question of providing information back and forth? But to be truthful, I don't care. You see, we have this little thing in the Constitution called the Supremacy Clause, Article 6, Clause 2. And now it does say that all treaties made or which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land. Now, why is this important? Well, it's important for two reasons. First of all, in order for anything the WHO does to be impactful on the United States, in other words, for it to legally be binding on the United States, first, it must be a properly ratified treaty. Meaning, according to Article 2, Section 2, Clause 2, the president, in order to make a treaty, must have the advice and consent of the Senate. In fact, he's got to have two-thirds of the Senate concur in order for it to be a valid treaty. So unless there's a treaty, there's no law. Whatever the president does outside of a treaty, it has no legal binding on the United States, on the several states, or on the American people. None, zilp, nada, zilch. Forget about it. You have to understand that the Constitution delegates to the United States certain powers. And the 10th Amendment says, if the power is not delegated to the United States, if it's not specifically stated in the Constitution, the United States doesn't have that power. And since the president is not granted the authority to make agreements, side deals, understandings, he's only allowed to make treaties, and only with the advice and consent of two-thirds of the Senate. Now, to my knowledge, there is no treaty that binds the United States to the World Health Organization, the WHO. So whatever the WHO does has no legally binding force within the United States. But there's more. You see, articles go back to the Supremacy Clause. Remember, it says that treaties made which shall be made under the authority of the United States. Well, where does the United States get its authority? From the Constitution of the United States, meaning any treaty that the president makes that is with the advice and consent of the Senate that is enacting a power and authority not delegated to the United States by the Constitution is not the supreme law of the land. It's a violation of the Constitution. It is void. Again, not my words. Alexander Hamilton, Federalist 78. It's a logical inference from the Marbury versus Madison. If an act of the legislature contrary to the Constitution is void, how can an act of the president contrary to the Constitution be anything but void? So we have a lot of brouhaha coming because people do not understand the Constitution. They don't understand how these processes work. They don't understand the limits of the power delegated to the United States and their ability to simply stand up and say, no. That's right. The people and the states can simply look at Washington and say, no, we didn't authorize this. Now, why is this so important? Well, for the last, what, 2+ years, we have been dealing with public health agencies run amok. Now, let's start off with the blatant fact. Public health regulation is not a power delegated to the United States. So, overseeing food and drugs, not a power delegated to the United States. Monitoring diseases, not a power delegated to the United States. Setting rules and regulations about drug use, not a power delegated to the United States. You know what that means? That means the FDA, the CDC, the NIH, these are all meaningless, void. They do not legally exist because the act of the legislator that created them was repugnant to the Constitution. Again, not my words. Let's look at the words of Alexander Hamilton. Federalist Papers number 78. There is no position which depends on clear principle than that every act of a delegated authority contrary to the tenor of the commission under which it is exercised is void. No legislative act, therefore, contrary to the Constitution can be valid. So if the United States doesn't have the power to regulate these, to regulate public health, then that legislative act that created agencies to do so was contrary to the Constitution. It cannot be valid. Not as, well, you know, sort of, kind of. No, this is why I tell people we need to read and study the Constitution. It's why I agree so much with John Jay. It's this basic understanding. And the fact that we don't follow the Constitution. We've stopped paying attention to it. The people have let Congress get away with crimes because they didn't know any better, because they hadn't bothered to read the Constitution. By the way, that was Alexander Hamilton. What about the Supreme Court? I believe it was Chief Justice Marshall who wrote the opinion in Marbury versus Madison, where he said, "Thus, the particular phraseology of the Constitution of the United States confirms and strengthens the principle, supposed to be essential to all written constitutions, that a law repugnant to the Constitution is void, and that courts, as well as other departments, are bound by that instrument." That's right. When Congress makes a law, when any legislator makes a law repugnant to the Constitution, that law is void. And it's the courts, not only the courts, but all other departments are bound to the Constitution. Article 6, Clause 3, all legislative, executive, and judicial officers at both the state and federal level take either swear or affirm that they will support the Constitution. This is not radical. This is not some new thing. This is over 240 years old, almost 240 years old for the Constitution of the United States. I think it's 235 if I do the math in my head. This is not radical. This is what this stuff says. We need to learn to pay attention to this because this is why governments have run amok. Because our founders put the brakes in place, the checks in place, but we the people never put the brakes on. So again, why is this so important? See, we talked a little bit about the WHO. I don't care about they have no legal authority within the United States. But we've been following this myth that the CDC and the FDA and the NIH have legal powers. They don't. So when the CDC says, you know what, we're concerned that if we start rolling out an annual COVID vaccine, well, the American people might think that the vaccines don't work. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, but isn't that a marketing point of view? Isn't that more politics than science? Especially when we look at, there's a study, just a peer-reviewed study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association that said that the Pfizer vaccine, well, its effectiveness against the Omicron variant fades very quickly after the second and third dose. As little as, 2 to 3 weeks, I think they're saying? But the CDC is worried that, well, if we start coming out if we start treating this like the flu, every year you have all the commercials, you can't walk near a pharmacy without saying, get your flu shot. By the way, I don't get the flu shot because I don't want the flu. But look at this. They're concerned. Well, if we turn this into the flu shot, people will think the vaccine doesn't work. But again, we have a peer-reviewed study. Now, I don't know. I haven't gone into the details of the study. Apparently, it was a Danish study that was published. Found that, again, when it comes to Omicron, the Omicron-specific serum only worked for a few weeks after the second or third dose. Seems to me like the science says it doesn't work. But you see, again, we've turned the public health agencies that don't legally exist. There's a reason we did not give that power to the federal government. But you see, they took it, and we did nothing about it. And now they're worried that we're going to see that all of this vaccine nonsense has been a scam, has been a fraud. And I'm not using that, I'm not being hyperbolic with that term. Because early in May, the FDA restricted the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, if memory serves, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is the only one that is not based on the mRNA technology, meaning it's the only one that isn't using an experimental technology in addition to being experimental itself. But you see, why did the FDA announce that they were limiting the use of Johnson & Johnson? Well, because of the increased risk of blood clotting conditions. Now, they do say there are rare but potentially fatal side effects that can occur 1 to 2 weeks after taking the J&J vaccine. Which, by the way, it's the only one I think that's legally a vaccine. Now, what happened to, well, it's all safe and effective, safe and effective, safe and effective. It's a mantra. But what do we find out? That's a fraud. There are risks. There always have been risks. There always will be risks to any medical treatment, whether it be a vaccine, a medication, a procedure. There always are risks. This idea that it's safe and effective is a myth. Safety is a spectrum. It's not binary. It's not safe versus unsafe. It's how safe and for you under what conditions. And effective, we just saw that, at least against Omicron, the Pfizer stuff, well, it's only effective for a short period of time. But you see, it's not simply that we have to worry about. It's bad enough that we've been lied to about the effectiveness, that we've been lied to about the safety. Now we're finding that the Defense Department's version of VAERS, the Defense Medical Epidemiological Database, may have been altered. That records may have been changed. According to a whistleblower, that they used to actually trust the government system more than VAERS, but now they say that many of the diagnoses and suggested vaccine industries were rewritten. Now, since then, their military doctors went public with this information, and the DOD says, Senator Johnson got involved. He's demanded that the DOD preserve unaltered records, which the DOD spokesman says they're doing. But again, now you have a database, not just the public health, but the military database, saying maybe the data is not as good as we've been led to believe, that it's being manipulated. And again, how can you make an informed decision? How can you have informed consent when the information is manipulated to get you to a certain outcome? Now, we're going to talk a bit more about this after I head off to my break, but I got to do that. But before I do, I want to remind you a couple things. I am still looking for tour dates and tour venues. The Blessings of Liberty tour is coming together quite nicely, but I've had a lot of people express some interest in dates, but I'm having a lot of, we're not getting a lot of the dates closed. Now, we still have time. So what I'm going to ask you to do is, if you would like me to come speak at an event, to a group, if this is something you can put together, I would be more than happy to. I'd love to. So just head to constitutionstudy.com/tour. You can find out more about the tour. I've started to update the page a bit more. There's some more information on there. But there's a form at the bottom you can fill out to see if I can make it to your event. It doesn't have to be a big event, doesn't have to be a great event, but I would love to come speak to you, to your group, and help understand the blessings of liberty, including answering a lot of questions. I love answering questions, so I always leave time for that. So please check that out. Also, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have a hard time falling asleep, especially when I travel. So I've traveled a lot for work for most of my life, most of my adult life. I travel now, and you know, you're on the road, you're running around, you get back to the hotel room, and you just can't sleep. Well, I use Healthy Cells REM Sleep. My wife uses it. We love it. It helps me fall asleep and stay asleep so I can wake up refreshed and ready to go. Best of all, it's not a pill. It's a travel-ready gel pack that supports all stages of sleep. Now, as an America Out Loud listener, they'll give you 20% off your first order. Just go to healthycell.com. Check it out. Check out all their products. I use many of their products. The Immune Super Boost, the Focus and Recall. Today, we're talking about REM Sleep. But when you put your cart together, when you check out, use that code out loud, and they will give you 20% off your first order.
In 2008, the amount of concentrated time people could spend on a task without becoming distracted was 12 seconds. 5 years later, it was only 8 seconds, 1 second less than a goldfish. If you find yourself always distracted or having trouble recalling information, you're likely to fall behind in the demanding, fast-paced 21st century. In other words, brain performance is more critical now than ever. Boost your brain power with Healthy Cells Focus Plus Recall. Science-backed nootropics to sharpen focus, concentrate longer, enhance recall, improve mental speed, learn rapidly, and be more alert. It's a pill-free brain supplement made with maximum absorption technology, designed to feed our brains at the cellular level. Take it for a test drive. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of Focus Plus Recall. That's HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
We wouldn't go a day without washing our hands, brushing our teeth, and washing our nose. Whoa, wait. We wash our nose? Yes, the number one place where bacteria, viruses, and pollen enter the body is through the nose. So the average person breathes over 23,000 times a day. That's 23,000 opportunities for bacteria, viruses, and irritants to get into your nose and make you sick. For an extra layer of protection, wash your nose with Clear. That is Clear, X-L-E-A-R. Clear's drug-free nasal spray features xylitol, an ingredient proven to block adhesion of many nasty bacteria and viruses, and effectively clean, not just rinse like a saline, but wash your nose. Clear nasal spray quickly alleviates congestion, opens your airway, and ensures your body's natural defenses are strong. Read the research studies for yourself at clear.com. That's X-L-E-A-R.com. Protect yourself from the pathogens and junk you breathe. Pick up a bottle for you and your family today.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. You've rejoined the Constitution Study. I can't tell you how often I've heard some variation of, we need to let government do it because, well, government do it right. You can't trust the corporations, you can't trust private individuals, but you can trust the government. I have no idea why people say this because, well, the government is made up of people and suddenly getting a government paycheck doesn't make you perfect. But when the government says something, oh, you know, how many people are saying, well, the government said this, this government bureaucrat said this, this government bureaucrat said that. Well, for example, early in the scamdemic, a group of doctors published what's called the Great Barrington Declaration. Now, needless to say, Anthony Fauci, who's the director of the NIAA, NIH said, it doesn't jive. We don't believe it. Now, he wasn't the only one, by the way. I believe Francis Collins from the CDC also referred to them as fringe scientists. You know, fringe, like the guy that helped develop the mRNA technology. Yeah, him. Now, this has been going on, again, for almost 2 years now. And Fauci is still after it. He says, you know, he completely disagrees with the scientists who signed the declaration. Now, I don't have a problem with that. Disagreement is what drives science. If everybody agreed, we wouldn't have science. Science is, I think you're wrong. I have a hypothesis that's going to work this way. I'll find a test and we'll see which one of us is closer to the truth. So I don't have a problem with Fauci and Collins disagreeing. But if I'm going to look at what they're saying, I need to understand the context. In other words, just because they are part of the government bureaucracy, just because they get a government paycheck, just because they've risen to the upper echelons of the federal government, doesn't mean they're pure as the wind-driven snow. In fact, it probably means they're anything but pure as the wind-driven snow. So I was not at all surprised when a FOIA request revealed a report that between 2010 and 2020, individuals at the National Institutes of Health received approximately $350 million in royalties paid by third parties, both to the agency and to the scientists. People who are listed as co-inventors of different drugs and treatments. Now, again, if somebody invented something, if they helped create something, I don't have a problem with them getting paid for it. I have a problem when public entities have a financial interest and we're not made aware of it. I have a problem when the same agencies that are promoting a certain treatment regimen or promoting a certain drug treatment have a financial interest in it and that's not disclosed. That's called a conflict of interest. Now, who received these payments and how much they were, that information is still unknown, at least not to the public. But it makes me wonder. It makes me wonder if the people who have, at the NIH have that have been promoting the vaccines, the COVID tests, do they have a financial incentive in doing so? Now again, if you want to receive funding, if you want to be paid for the work you've done, I don't have a problem with that. But you need to make that, you need to let the American people know when you're in a position of authority, such as in a federal bureaucracy, you darn well better let the people know. Because although we don't know the details, apparently both NIH Director Francis Collins and Dr. Anthony Fauci, who is the director of the NIH's National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, received royalty payments. For what? Do they have a, in other words, do these two people who have been promoting the mass vaccination, contradictory to all medical science, that have been promoting testing and masking and the fear porn, do they get a financial benefit from that? Could it be that they have committed fraud to enrich themselves? I don't know yet. But I'll tell you what, the acting director of the NIH admits there's an appearance of a conflict of interest. Now the current, Dr. Lawrence Tabak, who's the current director, said that in a testimony before the House Appropriations Subcommittee that federal law allows the royalty payments. Again, I don't have a problem inherently with the payments, but as he noted, it doesn't look ethical. Exactly. Where is, and this is why we have FOIA. We need to know. If you are a federal employee, if you are a public servant, we need to know if you're having any payments that impact your job. That conflict of interest needs to be disclosed. And I'm telling you, if Fauci and or Collins have received royalty payments for anything involved in COVID, not only should they be summarily fired, but I wonder if there are federal laws involving that. How can you trust someone to make a decision for you when they have a financial interest in it? You know, it's one of the reasons why when I talk about, Healthy Cell, right? I promote Healthy Cell on this program because they support this program. Make no bones about it. I frequently tell you, when you use the code out loud at checkout, it lets them know that you listen to the America Out Loud and you get a discount. That's open. If I were recommending Healthy Cell products to you and hid the fact that I was getting money from them, that would be unethical. I'm sure there'd be people in the government that'd be coming after me for it. Why is it not true for them? Because we have effectively created two Americas. We've created an America where if you're in a government position, if you're a position of authority, in many cases, you are above the law, or at least some laws, which is the exact opposite of the way of the country that was created by our founders when they formed the federal government back in 1787. See, ethics are important, and it's important that we understand we are not subjects of government. We are its master. For just such reasons as this, Fauci and Collins work for us. They're our employees. Now, there's a group of scientists, physicians, and others that have issued a declaration. They call it the Restore Scientific Integrity. 17,000 physicians and medical scientists have signed on to this statement. It starts out, we, the physicians and medical scientists of the world, united through our loyalty to the Hippocratic Oath, recognize that the disastrous COVID-19 public health policies imposed on doctors and our patients are the culmination of a corrupt medical alliance of pharmaceutical, insurance, and healthcare institutions, along with the financial trusts which control them. They have infiltrated our medical systems at every level and are protected and supported by a parallel alliance of big tech, media, academics, and government agencies who profit from this orchestrated catastrophe. Now, I'm not sure I agree wholeheartedly with everything that was said there, but I want you to remember something. See, people were warning back when the Affordable Care Act was illegally imposed on the American people. Again, public health, medical care, not a power delegated to the United States. To the point that the Supreme Court, Chief Justice John Roberts, committed an impeachable offense when he rewrote the legislation to make it fit his understanding to impose this nationalization of our healthcare system. Oh, sure, we didn't get single-payer healthcare, but we've effectively placed the federal government in charge of our healthcare system. And we have, again, more evidence of the corrupt alliance between these groups. You have, as I've already shown, right, you've got people in public health offices making money from products they're supposed to be overseeing. I talked with Dr. McCullough, and he pointed out that the FDA and the CDC, the supposed watchdog groups, are actually the sponsors of these COVID vaccines. How can you oversee something you're sponsoring? How can you do so honestly and fairly? We've seen insurance companies that, the federal government simply, we will buy tests and give that out to people. We're going to force insurance companies to do this. And of course, now that the government is setting all the standards for the insurance companies, we've watched insurance rates run through the roof. All because the American people sat back time and time and time again while our servants in Washington and in many of our state houses attempted to become our masters, took power away from us that they were not legally authorized to, and we did nothing. See, when I look at this statement, when I look at the 17,000 physicians pointing out the corruption in our medical system, a lot of it, not all of it, but a lot of it goes back to the fact that the American people didn't stand up when the federal government overreached its bounds. And in fact, millions of you begged the federal government to take away your freedom, to take away your choice, to control how you get medical care. To the point when I stopped working in corporate America, my choices for how to pay for my health care were extremely limited and extremely expensive. I can't buy a simple health insurance, you know, catastrophic injury health insurance package. It's got to cover things that have nothing to do, something my family will never engage in, because the government says so. See, people forget the only true monopoly in this world today is government. People say Twitter and Facebook are monopolies. No, they're not. They've got competitors. Yes, they're much smaller, but they're growing. But the one entity that does not have a true competitor is government. And it seems every day we are turning over more and more and more control of our lives to these bureaucrats in government, somehow thinking that magically they're going to be perfect, that you can be regulated without corruption, without influence, by some bureaucrat in a federal office better, well, then you can regulate yourself. That somehow the information coming out of the CDC and the FDA is better than the information coming out of your doctor or the other medical professionals or the other medical, was it JAMA and these other publishers of peer-reviewed studies. Why does getting a government paycheck better than somebody that actually does this for a living? I believe we've been swindled. We've been hoodwinked. We've been indoctrinated to believe that government is ultimately the only solution, when government is the one that is making the mess more often than not. Now, trust me, not giving you a government paycheck doesn't make you perfect either. I've got doctors that say the most insane things to me. Well, there's the neurologist that told my wife that she wasn't allowed in his office again until she took an experimental drug that impacts the immune system, when her disease is an immune system disease. MS involves the immune system attacking the lining of the nerves, causing the muscular problems. So you have somebody that already has an immune system issue that's taking, by the way, a drug that suppresses her immune system, and you want to coerce her to take a drug, a treatment that damages the immune system. I don't think that makes a lot of sense. Or the other doctor that apparently doesn't understand how viruses work. When I point out that these cloth masks are only about 5% effective according to the federal government, she goes, "Well, that's better than nothing." So in other words, you mean you're still breathing in 95% of whatever I exhaust, but that's better than 100%. It doesn't stop the virus. I know it doesn't stop the virus because you believe it doesn't stop the virus. I can prove that because you're wearing a mask, but you're telling me I have to wear one too to make your mask work. See, it's not simply whether or not you get a government paycheck as to whether or not your information is accurate, which is why I keep telling the American people, freedom isn't free. You have to work for it. That means you have to investigate for yourself. You have to do some research. You have to educate yourself. Because if you're dependent on others to tell you what is and isn't true, you're not just their subject. You're their slave. Because they can tell you anything they want. Now, these decisions, this willingness to hand over decision-making to somebody else does not come without consequences. I'm going to talk about those after the break. But before I do, I want to remind you, you can listen to the Constitution Study 5 days a week, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, heard on iHeartRadio. Now, you can listen on our web players or on our apps for Apple, Android, or Alexa. Just find all the links right there. Just go to AmericaOutLoud.com to find out more. Now, also, these programs all go to podcasts 2 or 3 days after they're heard on the radio. Listen on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast. Basically, pick your favorite podcast software. You can find America Out Loud. You can find this information and be well-informed. And most importantly, you can share this information. See, it's not enough simply to absorb the information. We really need to make sure we're sharing it with others. That's part of what the Constitution Study is all about. It's helping people read and study for themselves, help to share information. And by sharing that information, we become exposed to new ideas, ideas that may contradict what we've been told or what we believe. But again, that is how not just science works. It's how freedom and liberty work. You get exposed to ideas you disagree with and then test them to see what's true. We'll talk more about that when we get back on the other side of this break.
Dr. Vladimir Zelenko knows a thing or two about the immune system. He was nominated for a Nobel Prize for his early COVID-19 treatments, and now he's offering his Z-Stack supplements to our listeners at a discount. Just go to zstacklife.com/freedom. That's zstacklife.com/freedom.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day. Yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
Hello there, everyday Americans. Welcome back to the Constitution Study. I'm glad you could join me. You know, as I went into the break, I was talking about the consequences of our blind following of people just because they get a government paycheck. Well, let's take a look at some of the costs. This is what it really costs to do that. Sure, it's freedom and liberty, but I was reading an article by a Dr. Sanjay Verma. Now, he's a cardiologist in California, and he's noted something very interesting. A significant increase in certain heart diseases. Now, I do say, and I'm quoting from an Epoch Times article, it says, I can only say possibly, not definitively, because we do not yet have any diagnostic tests that 100% says this caused this. What we do have is what's called a process of exclusion. We look for common associations like coronavirus, influenza virus, and other infections, erythrosclerosis or coronary artery disease, alcohol, recreational drugs, and everything keeps coming back negative or normal, then by default, a process of exclusion, vaccine-associated heart injury is a probability. Now, what's he basing this on? What's he looking at? Well, he routinely sees apparently a few hundred patients a month. But you see, since last number, he's seen dozens of patients, or at least a dozen patients, whose heart condition might be connected to the COVID vaccines. Now, he says, we usually don't even see that many heart problems in a year, much less in that short period of time. And again, as he said, is that definitive? that the COVID vaccines are causing these heart problems. No, correlation does not necessarily mean causation. But when you see a large amount of correlation, he's one doctor. When you're seeing dozens and hundreds of doctors saying, we are seeing increases in heart conditions that correlate to taking this experimental treatment, well, to me, that's a clue. That to me is a risk factor. And that's ultimately what this comes down to. See, the biggest issue with government bureaucrats making these decisions is actually, in my mind, two. Problem number one, there are 330 million Americans. There is no way any individual, group, bureaucracy, or government can know what the risk-reward ratio is for any individual out of 330 million. They can't. You cannot know what's best for 330 million people. You cannot. Anybody who believes they know what is best for 330 million people is either deluded or an egomaniac. So what you end up with is a one-size-fits-all, which if you've ever gone to a clothing store and tried on a one-size-fits-all shirt, you know it really fits nobody. Well, it fits a very small percentage of the people, not the greatest number. But there's the other problem. You see, they look for what is the least risky to them. The bureaucrats have their own tails to consider. Meaning, when they look at the solution, they want to look at one that's not going to get them in trouble. It's why I say we need to decide for ourselves. It's why government is not given the authority to make public health decisions. And since your liberty, your ability to decide for yourself how to treat your own body, the property you have in your body, is protected by the Constitution, not even the states have the authority to tell you how to treat your body. Now, why did we do that? Because your unique situation, your unique risk factors, your tolerance for risk is going to be different than each and every other American in this country. You need to decide for yourself, is the risk worth the reward? This is why we don't give governments the authority to tell us what medical treatments we are allowed to take, what medical treatments we must take. We don't give that to them for one very good reason. There is no way they can know what is best for you because they don't know you. And they have no incentive to make sure that you're properly informed. Now, we've been talking for, 2 years now about a year plus now, about the risks of these so-called vaccines. So-called because two of the three are not even legally vaccines. The mRNA is not a vaccine, it's a gene therapy. And we've been warning, telling you, look at the VAERS data. It shows an alarming state of deaths and injuries from these supposed vaccines, both the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccine. We say, no, don't worry about that. Yes, deaths, the reported deaths that are adverse effects to these COVID treatments are, a couple of hundred times anything that's caused a vaccine to be recalled in the past, but that's still okay because the government says it's what's best for you. And all this information about the number of deaths and injuries coming from these vaccines from the government has been ignored. But you know what? Now there's been some interesting data coming from a source you may not have thought about that is confirming the dangers of these treatments. See, insurance companies have these things called actuarials. They're looking at injuries and deaths because they got to pay for it. They found a 40% increase in the number of deaths between ages 18 and 64-year-old males between the third and fourth quarters of 2021. I'm sorry, starting after the third from the third to fourth quarter of 2021. 40% increase. in deaths among males 18 to 64. Now, here's the interesting thing. See, insurance companies, everyone's, oh, those are evil insurance companies. Really? Those insurance companies probably had to pay out for those deaths. It's not simply a question of, you know, oh, we needed to report these because, you know, we're just evil. No, they had to pay insurance claims. They had to pay for treatment for these people who died. And in the face of all this, the mounting evidence of the dangers, the more scientific data showing the dangers of these mRNA treatments, the VAERS data, the insurance company data, the military data, we still have government agencies that are pushing for more and more people and younger people to get these treatments. And again, they're looking to do it not simply for COVID, but there are pharmaceutical companies pushing to use mRNA platforms for your flu vaccine. Moderna is apparently working on at least 15 different mRNA-based shots. Are you comfortable with that? Are you willing to put your health, the health of your family, into the hands of a bunch of bureaucrats that have no accountability for their actions? Are you willing to listen to them when they lie to you over and over and over again? See, there's some really interesting data coming out of the CDC as well. Believe it or not, out of the CDC. COVID-19 case rates have been highest among children that are fully vaccinated. I said that right. According to a report that came out in February, the case rate was roughly 250 per 100,000 children aged to 5 to 11 among vaccinated children, compared to 245, almost 246, for unvaccinated children, the same age group. So you're going to let your child be experimented on. Take a drug that hasn't been fully tested, with known dangerous side effects, with unknown long-term consequences, for a disease that, again, 5 to 11 have almost statistically zero chance of dying from. Now, I don't want to blow this out of proportion, right? 250 cases per 100,000, that's 0.25%. So we're not talking about huge infection rates, but to go from 0.24 to, you know, was it 2.45% to 0.250%? Why are you taking the risk? Again, now that's for you to decide. You and your child have unique situations. Maybe there's a really good reason for that. But we're not talking about your ability to choose. We're talking about the pressure and, in many cases, the legal enforcement to force you to inject your child with a potentially dangerous, unknown risk factor treatment for a disease that have a very low infection rate and an even lower death rate. We need, as the American, we need to learn to think for ourselves. We've become dependent on others to think for us. We've been convinced that if we just give up our freedom, give up our liberty, give up our rationality, and let others tell us how to live, we will live a happy, joyful life. Well, what has the last year, 2 years told you? That's just not true. But there are those in government, and yes, in the media, that will, in an attempt to think for you, make you do things that are not in your best interest. Now, I know it's in my best interest, or at least I think I know it's in my best interest, and I may have an idea of what is in your best interest, but I'm not arrogant enough to say you must comply with what I think is best. I make suggestions. But you see, that isn't the way the government work. See, the White House is looking, saying, oh, COVID cases are going up again. Oh my God, COVID cases are going up again. Let's crank up the fear porn. Let's get everybody scared again because COVID cases are going up. You've got the White House. You've got the CDC. All pushing. My God, the cases are going up. You know, we're going to have to reinstitute the mask mandates. We're going to have to reinstitute. Everything's being put back on the table. There's just one important little data fact I'd like you to remember. Actually, two I'd like you to remember. So far, the infection rates are nothing near like they were at the height of the scaredemic back in early 2021. And even in early 2022. And the death rate is not going up. See, that's why I refer to this as fear porn. All they're doing is showing you something to get you scared so that they can control you. Sure, first it'll be with masks. How long do you think it's going to be before they're going to start saying you got to take injections again? You see, we've told government that as a whole, the American people will roll over to get their belly rubbed if you scare them enough. They won't stop and think. They won't analyze. They won't look at their own risk factors. They won't look at the reward possibilities. They don't do any sort of analysis. All you got to do is scare them, and they'll fold like a cheap suit. So what's the solution to it? Believe it or not, the answer is not more mandates, either for or against vaccinations. No, no, no. It's not more mandates about masks. It's education. It's the American people taking responsibility for themselves, looking at data and deciding for themselves, what is the risk versus what is the reward? What is the risk of wearing a mask, taking a shot, locking down, deciding for yourself? Now, a lot of people are afraid of that. Oh my God, if I had to think for myself, what if I make the wrong decision? What if those in government make the wrong decision? See, if you make the wrong decision, well, you can change your mind. When was the last time you saw a government agency change its mind? We have evidence that the vaccines do not work efficiently or over time, but they're still being promoted. We have evidence that these vaccines do include a risk factor. We don't care. We still have to promote the vaccines. We don't, you know, we have evidence that natural immunity, actually getting Omicron, is better for you than taking the shot. We don't care. We've got to promote the shot. We've got to promote the masks, the shots, the lockdowns, because that's the stand we've taken. See, if you make a mistake, you can change your mind. If government makes a mistake, and they claim the authority to tell 330 million people how to live their lives, how do we get them to change their mind? We don't have to, because we don't have to listen to them. That's the point I want to get through to the American people. This is not a power delegated to the United States. So everything they are doing regarding COVID is void. It is legally meaningless. All it takes is the American people listening to John Jay, reading and studying the Constitution, learning what their rights are, recognizing when they're being violated, and learning how to defend and assert them. See, having to decide for yourself sounds scary, but it's extremely liberating. It is the freedom to choose, the freedom to observe others and learn from their actions that makes us free. Now, the government will claim to take care of you. All they ask for is all your freedom, all your liberty, all your rights. All the things that have made America, America. Are you willing to trade not just your freedom and liberty, but the freedom and liberty of your children and your grandchildren and future generations for the empty promise that the government will take care of you? That government knows best in the face of all the evidence to the contrary. It's a decision you have to make. It's a decision I have to make. And when we make that decision and we live either as free people or as servants, we will suffer the consequences. I only hope you decide to choose freedom, because in the long run, it may be hard work, but it's a better way to live. Now, please be sure to make AmericaOutLoud.com your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. With information like this, it is more important than ever that we all do our part, that we stay informed, and then we take that information and we share it. We share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, the videos, to do everything we can to allow others access to different information, to that challenging piece of information. Because it's only by doing that, it's only by sharing, that you can help me and others as we try to secure the blessings of liberty, not just for ourselves and not just for our past posterity, but for future generations of Americans.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.